It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
And joining us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, happy almost Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Well, same to you, my friend. We've all got a lot to be thankful for, obviously, and it's a good reminder every year when this rolls around.
Absolutely, but today on our show, because since it's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine, we take a different approach. Anything grinding Mark Johnson's gears today?
Yeah, well, listen, that list would go on for hours. There's no way I could boil it down for just a quick segment like this. No. And I think that's good for us to have those kind of things, because it teaches us patience, and it teaches us perseverance, and it teaches us to be thankful, I guess.
Absolutely. That's right. We have some of those negative things. We take that negative energy, turn it into a positive. There we go, right? Is that what we're supposed to do?
That's the goal, anyway. That's the fleshy part of it. That likes to focus on that kind of stuff most of the time. We get together, we complain, whine to each other, and everyone says, good thing we got people in our lives who can kick us in the tail every once in a while and say, hey, you don't have to be thankful for it. Let's stop focusing on the negative.
Could be worse. Could be a lot worse. Like today, we have a puppy, and today, at least he did when he pooped in his crate, he didn't decide to roll around in it like he has the last couple of times. He found a nice little part in the back of it, did his business there, so I could take him out while he was clean and clean the crate out. So small victories like that, right? Little things to be thankful for.
No doubt about that. You know all that means. You got there quick enough. That's all that means.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's not that he didn't want to roll around with the poop. You just got there quick enough before he did it. That's all that means.
I got lucky. I got lucky once in the last couple of days, because he's been really good until the last couple of days, and it's been a poop show, shall we say.
There's a good analogy in that, because figuratively, we all do that to ourselves all the time, right? We roll in the stink, and then you got to clean it up, and so that's a good life lesson you're teaching all of us this morning.
Well, thank you, Mark. I'm glad it's a life lesson for somebody. Colorado gets the win against Washington, 20-17, but you just look at the numbers in this game without looking at the score, and you're going, how did Colorado win this thing? Except when you look at the turnovers by Washington, and you go, okay, that's where the Buffaloes were able to make some hay while the sun is out, as my pappy used to say. They were able to take advantage of those four big turnovers by the Huskies.
There's no doubt about it. You know, I always think back to years ago, and I wish you remember the specific numbers. When I was at Syracuse, Paul Pasqualoni is one of the great football coaches I've ever been around. He was a head coach of the Orange at the time. And one day we're sitting in and around doing his coach's show, and we got talking about turnovers. And he was a football numbers nerd. I mean, he just loved that stuff. That was his whole life. And he went through and explained to me, you know, when you get one turnover, your chance of losing becomes this. And then he went on down until you get to like five. By the time you get a five turnover, your chance of winning is like, it's like 3% or something, some crazy number that he had figured out over the years. So think about it. Washington had four turnovers. And, you know, that's one thing. The one thing the Buffs have done well this season on offense, and really there's two when you think about it, and normally they indicate victories. They have not turned the ball over. And I think is it five or six games now have not had a turnover this season? And they've not been a penalized team heavily. A couple of games they've had a number. But really, those two things they've cleaned up this year. Now, that hasn't translated to wins you would think. But conversely, if you're Washington, you turn the ball over five times, your chance of winning becomes very negligible. And the Buffs took advantage of it, obviously, with an 88-yard fumble recovery, return for a touchdown by Jack Lamb. And they got a short field a couple of times. And those are things you got to take advantage of. But the truth of that, when you look at this ball game, as you indicated, when you look at the box score, the numbers tell the whole story about where that offense still is and how much they've got to improve. And, boy, they've got a heck of a challenge coming up, obviously, on Friday.
Of course, with Utah coming up after their victory over Oregon, a dominant performance by Utah over Oregon. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Seniors playing their final game at Folsom Field this last weekend.
Yep.
What's your takeaway on some of those seniors, guys like Nate Lamon and others?
Well, it happens every year when you get to that day, and especially a guy in my position that's around that team all the time, you get to know those guys very well. You know, they come in here and they're, snot-nosed kids, and by the time they leave, they're grown men. And it's always an interesting process to watch them go through. And I sat down just a couple of days ago with Nate Lamon, and we're going to run a little pregame segment with him. And it was fun just to, watch the maturity in him and know what kind of player he's become. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you one visual from last Saturday at Folsom Field that kind of explains it all. Carson Wells was a beast out there, obviously, against Washington. He was phenomenal in that ball game. There was a moment after the game. The stadium's essentially empty. We had just come out to start to do our television stuff. And there's Carson Wells sitting under the north goalpost, just sitting there staring south towards the iconic, you know, Colorado at the south end of the stadium, just sitting there with the lights on in the stadium. Really nobody else around, maybe a couple of the field crew out there working on things. He was just sitting there taking it in and staring out across that field that, you know, he's given so many blood, sweat, and tears. And that's always an indicator that you know, you got a guy that loved what he did. And, you know, he's going to give a shot to the NFL and see what happens there. But there's a guy that it shows you how much those guys care about what they do, the sport they play, how much they enjoy it. And there's a finality to football. Now, he's going to have a shot at the NFL. Obviously, Nate Landman certainly will have a shot at the NFL. But, you know, this isn't like, and I played college basketball. When I was done playing, when injuries ended my career, and I jumped into, the next year I jumped into a nice high-level, you know, rec league and played for a few more years. When football's done, it's done. You know, because, Jim, you and I are putting the pads on and going out when you're 1 week
right.
Playing a little football against each other. And so it's always a reminder of the finality of football and what it, you know, means for those guys when it's all said and done on a senior day.
Voice of the Buffalo's Mark Johnson joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Obviously, there's some things we've learned about this team, and it's the offense. There has to be some changes heading into 2022. But what do you feel like we've learned about Carl Durrell, this program, where things are after, you know, what a surprise and what a fun year, even though it was COVID. Not that, you know, that was a fun year, but an exciting year for Colorado football, you know, all things considered. What do you feel like we've learned about this football team in a full season with Carl Durrell?
Well, you know, you've learned what he is. He's a very steady force. Now, there are going to be fans out there that hear me talk right now that are, you know, probably screaming, fire Carl Durrell. You know the way that works. And I hear it all the time. But what you see with him is a very steadying force. And I'll tell you what, there's a great lesson to be learned from that, going back to what we talked about earlier. You know, look at, you know, there's rumors right now that maybe Kyle Whittingham might retire after this season. So we'll have to wait and see. You did hear those rumblings out there with various outlets. That program has been unbelievably steady over the course of his tenure. When did he get there? Like 05 or 06, somewhere around that range? He's been there a long, long time. And he's a steadying force within the program, and he was allowed to build his program. And I know in today's, you know, microwave age, it's not a sexy thing to talk about that, you know, we want victories immediately. Doesn't always work that way. Mike Krzyzewski struggled early on. Bill McCartney struggled early on. There's a lot of programs. There was a time very early in his tenure where Utah fans wanted to run Kyle Whittingham out of Salt Lake City. If you find a guy you believe in, you have to allow there to be some growth within the program to find the foundation. Look what Tad's done in basketball, for goodness sakes, and how good that program is right now. So I think that's a lesson. And what you see with Carl, he's a very steadying force in the middle of all this. Now, has this thing been perfect? Absolutely not. Have there been atrocious offensive performance? Absolutely there have. But there's some consistency. I talked about the discipline without having turnovers, the penalty things. He steadied that. The defense has, you know, had varying degrees of success this year. The special teams have been very good. He's been a very steadying force. And through all the noise out there right now, Carl Durrell, along with Rick George, the athletic director, are kind of standing in solidarity, you know, shoulder to shoulder. And you know, they want to continue to build this thing. So I think that's one thing I've learned about them. What I thought last year in that truncated season, and not really being real close around the team with all that was going on with COVID, it was reinforced this year watching him kind of internally.
Voice of the Buffalo's Mark Johnson joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Mentioned it's Utah, the Rumble in the Rockies coming up on Friday. Utah, they have a running back in Tavion Thomas, has 17 touchdowns this season. For the Buffaloes, 22 total offensive scores this season. So it kind of shows, once again, and unfortunately, Mark, illustrates the point of the struggles offensively for Colorado when you have Tavion Thomas, who's found the end zone 17 times, and the Buffs have only managed a little better, you know, than that as a team, both running and passing the football.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, no matter how you slice and dice these numbers, you're not going to find a pretty angle to it. There's a couple of spots that you might have a little bit of a glimmer, but there's nothing, you know, attractive about what they've done offensively. And I don't think you can make any excuses for that other than the fact that team did not play well. And you mentioned there are going to be some alterations that happen. I think moving forward, once this game is over and you get into the offseason, I think we're going to see all kinds of things. And then, you know, you start looking at, you got recruiting coming up on December 15th, the signing day. You've got, you know, you got JT Schrout coming back. You've got, you know, this team's been hit very, and it's not an excuse, but it is a reason, hit extremely hard by injuries. You know, Brandon Rice isn't going to play this week. And so look what's happened on the defensive side with Nate Lamman and Guy Thomas and Mekhi Blackmon and all the guys that have missed time and will continue to miss time. And so, you know, again, not an excuse. There are reasons things happen. You have to be honest about that. So I think what you're going to see moving forward is a continued growth in this thing and building on that foundation he's trying to lay. But you can't look at what they've done offensively any way, shape, or form and go, yeah, I like what I'm seeing there. Not at all. I mean, it's got to change. It's got to be a whole lot better moving forward.
Their quarterback, Cameron Rising, played well. Mentioned Taylor's had a really good season with the 17 touchdowns. But their defense, I mean, you look at what they did to Oregon last week, and that defense has been really good. Devin Lloyd, you know, could very well be a first-round pick, plays linebacker for them. They're giving up 22.3 points per game. This is a really good Utah defense against certainly not a strength for the Colorado football team.
No, certainly not. You know, the thing that I always talk about with football, or really anything in life, tell me what you are, right? Give me an identity. You know, there's got to be something that you kind of step back on and build upon, right? And what Utah has been since Kyle Whittingham has been there is a physical football team, especially in an era when that has not been the case, in a conference where it really has not been the case. They have been a physical football team. They've never wavered from that. They do it every single year. And what they did last week to Oregon was dismantling. And by the way, you think about the millions lost by the Pac-12 because of what Oregon or Utah did to Oregon. Holy cow. If Oregon wins that, and it's a very solid, close game, and then they have a rematch most likely in the Pac-12 title game, and even depending on which way it goes there, you still probably have the Ducks in the college football playoffs, and then you get Utah going to the Rose Bowl. The millions that would have been generated for every school in this conference, you know, would have been certainly substantial. With that dismantling, you take Oregon out of that. I mean, they're not even in a conversation now. And you're going to get one team in the Rose Bowl, so in one of those big money bowls. So yeah, that was an enormously costful loss for the Pac-12 last week. But going back to Utah, physical, solid, don't make a lot of mistakes. You mentioned Rising. I wonder why he wasn't starting from day one this season, because he's been that good, I think, at the quarterback position. That's a very good, solid football team from top to bottom. Now, are they a top five team? Probably not, but they're a top 10, 12, 14 team in the country, and they play like it every week. I think they're one of the great, I don't want to say roadmap, but certainly an example of what, because, you know, from a Colorado perspective, in terms of where they're at financially, where they're at in the college football landscape, you can duplicate that every year for what Kyle Whittingham has done there. You put down, what, 6, 7, 8, 9 wins every year. And just write it down and think, and that's something that I think the Buffs got to kind of emulate.
Yeah, I think Buffs fans would be thrilled to have that kind of consistency.
Sure.
No doubt about it. Being a bowl eligible team every year would be something that I think all Colorado fans would love to have as a holiday gift this year.
Yeah, without question. And it's something this program should be. It has been that for long periods of time. And again, you go back to the consistent turnover, and you know, they had that graphic the other night, ABC did, during that ball game. I don't know if you saw that, Jim. They had, here's how long Kyle Whittingham has been there, and they talked about other schools that have had a lot of coaches, a high number of coaches over the course of that. Now, they said it was 9 for Colorado. That was dishonest. There's a little fake news for you, because they were including interim coaches when somebody
right.
fired and so that. But still, the point I think is valid about the consistency there, and I think any program in America – would take something along the lines of what Utah has built over the last 15, 20 years.
Voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Utah's won the South. That's already, that's in stone for them. The North, there's still a lot to be decided there. Could this be somewhat of a distraction for Utah, not knowing who they're going to play in the Pac-12 title game? You also have the game where they played against Arizona and didn't exactly play inspired football against a bad Wildcats team. Does this set up for a big game, a game after the big game situation, does this set up for maybe Colorado hanging around and maybe coming up with an upset against number 16 Utah?
Boy, I hope you're right. I hope they're terribly distracted. I hope they're terribly uninspired, because if they come in razor sharp focused, they're as good as anybody in the country at any time. So yeah, I hope that's the case. I don't know if it's going to happen. It is senior day, and we've had, you think of how many times the Buffs in recent years have come to the Utah game with 5 victories, right?
Yeah.
I said on the air the other day, I'm forgetting the number, it was passed along by one of the sports information people about that was the first time in 6 years the Buffs were playing a game without a bowl opportunity on the line. I think that's. I think I'm correct in thinking that, because you go back to the number of years that they were had five wins going down a stretch of the
right.
season, and how many times they come to that Utah game and get smoked in that one. And so history would not indicate that's the case. Let's hope that is the case coming Friday. And I hope they've got a huge tryptophan hangover. I hope they're distracted, and I hope they're terribly disinterested in the ball game on Friday.
Hope they're on the sideline, using the buckets, getting rid of all the stuffing and turkey.
They got
tummy aches and they can't play. That'd be fantastic for Colorado if that's the case. We'll have the game this Friday. Mark and Gary Barnett kick off at 2 o'clock this Friday when the Buffaloes wrap up the regular season against Utah. Do you want to quickly talk about CU men's basketball? Because unfortunately, you get to make that trip to the Virgin Islands for the Paradise Jam. But for the Buffs men's basketball team, they were able to get a couple of wins. They finished fourth in their three games at the Paradise Jam as they now start to turn their attention, of course, to starting Pac-12 play.
Yeah, they got Stanford coming in this weekend. By the way, is that the first time? And you and I have been around a long time. Now, when you lose the first game of an 8-team tournament and you go into the consolation bracket, you ultimately have an opportunity to win the consolation championship, which is fifth.
Right.
It was the weirdest thing. When I first saw it, I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. You don't take fourth in a tournament because you've got a first-place game, which is first and second. You've got a third-place game, which is third and fourth. I didn't understand the bracketing of that thing at all. But they won the consolation championship. So I guess it's fourth the way they laid it out there.
Maybe
there's a different system down there in the Virgin Islands that we're used to seeing. I don't know, but it was kind of an odd deal. But, yeah, they didn't play exceptionally well, to be honest with you. They're what did we talk about a few weeks ago, Jim? They're exceptionally talented and very young, and they play that way sometimes. And they about drove Tad out of his mind over the course of those three games because of getting behind and making a comeback. When you see a team that gets behind and makes comebacks, they're a little bit of an enigma, and they bother you because of the inconsistency there. Okay, you're dumb enough to keep falling behind, but you're good enough to always keep coming back, okay? And that's one thing he's got to kind of coax this team through right now, because they tried to come back in all three of those ball games, lost the first one, came back, and won the next two. And so it shows you how talented they are and explosive they can be, but, boy, that youthfulness, that lack of consistency with that young team is going to be something that's going to test Tad's patience, I think, early on this season.
Going to make what hair Tad has just a
not
little,
much, by the way.
A little bit grayer. but Stanford coming up this weekend, and then on the horizon, got UCLA who got smoked by Gonzaga last night.
Oh yeah, UCLA. Because remember, with a new 20-game slate in the conference, you're playing two conference games before the first of the year. So Stanford and UCLA, middle of next week. Then you got Tennessee, and then you got Kansas coming up. You got a very good CSU Bakersfield team. Their schedule coming up here in very short order is extremely challenging. So, yeah, get ready for a wild ride.
All right, Mark.